two looks now at the safety of processed food in America. Frontline has just completed an investigation into the dangers of salmonella in chicken and the chaotic regulations in the poultry business. And our friends at Retro Report look back this week at a food scare in fast food that gave new meaning to the surprise that pops out of the jack-in-the-box. Joining us is Scott Michaels, producer for Retro Report. Also with us is David Hoffman, a correspondent for Frontline. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
So, Scott, let's start with you. Jack in the Box is a fast food place that is popular in certain regions of the country, largely the West Coast. And in 1993, what happened?
In 1993, they were involved in really what became, you know, the biggest food safety scare probably in modern American history. You know, more than 700 people got sick, 4 young children died, and it was all from a bacteria called E. coli 0157, which at the time most people in America had never heard of.
And the scare happened quickly at Jack in the Box, but it developed in ways that were very, very surprising. Here's the story of Darren Detweiler, whose son Riley was infected and killed by E. coli, talking about what happened to his son.
We took him to the local hospital, and he was seen, and he was tested, and he got worse and worse and worse. They put him in our arms. I was holding out for him to take a breath. I never felt that.
That's an amazing story, and he didn't even get infected at a Jack in the Box.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, most of the people who got sick did actually eat contaminated hamburgers, but there were a number of cases of what they call secondary infections, which is people who got E. coli from other people who had eaten contaminated food.
You describe the severity of this outbreak, and did the federal government have a new understanding of the severity and the seriousness of E. coli after the 1993 outbreak?
Yeah, they did. I mean, this was really a watershed moment in terms both of raising public awareness about the dangers in the food supply and in terms of making really significant changes in how the food safety system is regulated from the government side.
And E. coli is everywhere. I mean, it's a feature in fertilizers. It's it's definitely part of the environment that cattle are living in constantly. And so it's a difficult task to keep E. coli completely out of the food system.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, E. coli sort of it lives in the intestines mostly of cows. And when cows go to the bathroom, the bacteria can get out, and then it can spread in a variety of ways through water, or it can be picked up by the wind and blown into crops. It can be picked up by other animals and carried into other foods, and those foods can get contaminated.
David Hoffman, a correspondent for Frontline. Salmonella is a different organism, but it produces the same kinds of dangers in the food supply. What have you discovered?
You know, after the Jack in the Box outbreak, a lot of things were done with this particular E. coli 0157. It was a particularly dangerous bacteria. And reforms were put in place that made that E. coli an adulterant. So if it was found in hamburger, it had to be recalled immediately. But those reforms didn't cover chicken. And there's a whole part of the meat industry where the change didn't happen. Salmonella is also a bacteria. And there's over 2,000 types of salmonella. A lot of them are not particularly harmful to humans. Some of them are really nasty. And what happened in 2013 and 2014 was that a lot of raw chicken got contaminated with one of those particularly difficult, stubborn and strains of salmonella that made a lot of people sick. And this is 20 years after the Jack in the Box outbreak.
And the irony here, not irony, I mean, I guess what's most disturbing about all this is that the biology is very similar. It's meat. It's a meat processing system with lots and lots of animals. This is a bacteria. You would expect that the same rules that would apply to E. coli would apply to salmonella. And yet, here's Amanda Creighton speaking about her son Noah, who developed a very serious brain abscess because of salmonella Heidelberg in Foster Farms chicken.
They said, "This is Salmonella Heidelberg." And he said that, you know, it doesn't usually happen that they get brain abscesses from Salmonella Heidelberg. But Salmonella is a very virulent bacteria. And when you have a young child with, you know, his immune system is not developed as somebody else's, it will seed in his brain.
Did the government understand that this was possible in chicken and did nothing? Or was this just completely ignored?
You know, this was not just a single chicken potluck supper where some people got sick. This was an outbreak that went on for 16 months. So day in and day out, people went to their grocery store like you and me, and they bought packs of chicken, and it said USDA inspected on it. And they continued to get sick. And I think a big question raised by this outbreak at on the West Coast was, why didn't our government do something? Why didn't they recall? Why didn't they do something really to stop the chicken from going out to the market? And the time period of this thing is really quite extraordinary. It's the largest single outbreak of salmonella in poultry in history.
And both of you, what do you think the issue is here? Is this a case where agribusiness or the food industry has power to change the regulatory environment or make it more favorable for themselves? What do you think the reason for the different treatment is here? David, you first.
In this case, I think the federal government has an agency. They have inspectors in these plants. But the inspectors are looking for things they can see, you know, broken bones or feathers or something. And these bacteria are invisible. And so they needed a new system to track the bacteria. And they started to do this in the 1990s to look for it. But the standards they set and the methods that they have for checking are completely ineffective.
And Scott Michaels, what's your assessment as to the lack of uniformity in the food system regarding these kinds of threats?
I mean, I think what we've seen historically is that changes in the food regulatory system come in a very piecemeal fashion, and they come in response to particular disasters or particular problems. So if you go back to the 90s and the Jack in the Box outbreak, the government did respond in a somewhat forceful way to this particular problem of E. coli in beef, but they really didn't take a wholesale, holistic approach to thinking about all of the different pathogens in all the different kinds of foods.
Scott Michaels is a producer for Retro Report, and David Hoffman is a correspondent for Frontline. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.